I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The distinguished Haida artist Reg Davidson joins me now. Mr. Davidson will be back in Vancouver next week, the 16th of February, for the unveiling of a new collection of clothing with Echo designer Wendy Van Riesen of Dahlia Drive. Ravens, Eagles, Polka Dots is a collaboration based on Reg Davidson's Raven Dancing Silkscreen and Eagle Drum Painting. These works, inspired by the Haida Gwaii landscape and the traditional colors of the Haida, can be bought through dahliadrive.com. The launch event is Tuesday night at the Squatch Eyes Lodge at 29 West Pender Street at 7:30 p.m. There'll be a fashion show. At the end of January, Mr. Davidson unveiled four of his sculptures, which are now on permanent display at the Vancouver International Airport. I'll get Mr. Davidson to reflect on that remarkable achievement, as well as tell us about the collaboration with Dahlia Drive. The website for more is at regdavidson.com. Please welcome to the Plant on Line program in Old Masset on Haida Gwaii, Reg Davidson. Mr. Davidson, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
So I understand that Wendy and her husband had gone up to Masset a couple of years ago. I guess they lived there for a bit, is that right?
Yeah, they came up last summer on their sailboat, and then they ended up staying here for the winter.
I see.
And then they, they stayed right till June, July, then they sailed back down to Vancouver. So we met them at one of our functions that were happening in the village in the Community Hall, where she was donating her time to help with what was going on in the community.
Yeah. And so had you met before, or that was the first time, I guess?
Oh, no, that was the first time we met them, or I met them, and I really enjoyed them.
Yeah.
We became friends.
Yeah. Was it her idea then to work together and collaborate on this project?
She approached me and she showed me what she was doing, and she asked me if it was okay to use some of my designs, and I said, yeah, that's no problem. I like what you're doing here. And so we started with one design, and we did a high-resolution photograph of it, and it went from there.
What's it like to look at your work on clothing and see that people are wearing it now?
Putting it on clothing, people have been doing it for a long time. There's mm-hmm. different levels of clothing, and the way she's done this, it's almost like it's a see-through material where you can dress up and you can wear it on anything.
Yeah.
It really adds to it, and what I enjoy about it is it's see-through material, so you can wear anything under that's not where it's, I've seen clothing done before where it's silk screened on.
Yeah.
And this is, it's silk screened on, all right, but it's a see-through material, so they can wear it over anything pretty much you want to.
Yeah, it looks fancy too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's fancier than me doing my T-shirt with designs on it. it's a whole different level. It's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
And people are really excited about seeing it. Everybody wants it.
Yeah. No, there is a lot of anticipation for the event in Vancouver on Tuesday. Will you be flying down here?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there at the event, so I'll be there a couple of days and back home.
So. Yeah. And so the installations at the airport that you carved, those have been there now a couple of weeks, I guess, right?
Well, they put them in before Christmas, and they officially just unveiled it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that whole project took about a couple of years. I had Corey Savard and Oliver Bell were the two main workers, but I've had to hire different people throughout the whole before so we can complete it at a certain time.
Yeah, I understand you had a whole crew up there, right?
Yeah, at one point I had five people working.
Yeah.
But I always hire different people for different things, like if I'm painting, mm-hmm. I'll hire different people painting, but if I'm roughing out, I'll hire different people. So there's different people I'll hire at different stages of the project.
Yeah. So I mean, you were with these carvings, these sculptures for at least a couple of years as you were making them. What's it like now to see them at the airport?
I'm very pleased because it's probably my first public art. Like, I've always done everything private commissions for people. Like, I've done private collections where people put their poles in their yard and stuff, and everything was always private collections. And even in our village, I've done a couple for our village, but they were owned by people, and this is on public display, and it's an amazing spot to be on display because between 7 and 9 million people walk by it a year.
Yeah, and it says something about this place right away. I mean, for people that are new to this part of the world, when they step off the plane, that's what they see.
Yep. When I was working on it, I was trying to create something where if you don't know anything about it, you'll appreciate it. Because when I go traveling, a lot of times I don't understand the art, but I really appreciate good art. So my goal was to make it so that everybody will enjoy it, even though they don't understand Haida art.
Yeah.
And Wendy's done the same idea. I mean, when I'm doing my designs, she's laid it out so it works on the clothing, right?
Yeah.
So you can see sections of the design or the whole design. And to me, I feel that works. You know, you can tell it's Haida design.
Throughout your career, Reg, did you always think, as you were working on whatever artistic endeavor you were in the midst of, as to legacy and how people not only now will see it, but people down the line, say?
My goal when I first started was to get established enough, because I lived in the city. I wanted to get established enough so I could move back home and work at home and just send my stuff away. And I never set any goals on where I want to be. I mean, I'm very comfortable where I'm at. If I lived in the city, I'm sure I can go to another level on selling it. But I love Haida Gwaii and I love being here. I mean, fresh seafood all year round.
You know, that's something to envy, even though living in Vancouver, but still, you know, it's such a beautiful place up there from what I've seen and read. I've never been there, but people that have gone there and live there say that it just changes their life. I mean,
I know a few people that were just come to visit and end up moving here.
Yeah.
I know about 20-odd years ago, there's one guy sailing around the world. And he went through Skidigit Narrows, and he ended up in Queen Charlotte City, and he ended up staying. He moved, he quit sailing, and he still lived there.
Yeah. So that was always the goal for you, to be able to live and work there, right?
Yeah, because all the stuff I do, I do my work here, but I make the money elsewhere, because I have to send it away to sell it.
Uh-huh.
I sell the art piece in the summer when they have tourists coming here, but most of the time I'm just sending it away. And there's few people that bought things here, but most of my money comes from off island.
Yeah, when you send a piece away, you're essentially sending a piece of Haida Gwaii away, aren't you? I mean, you're spreading it around the world almost.
Yeah. We also have a dance group, and we've danced in a lot of different countries. And at one point, it kind of bothered me, but and the way I see it is we're educating the world to see who we are. They don't actually have to come here, but they'll have an understanding of who we are, like through the art and our song and dance, if they see us performing.
But you would recommend people go up there, don't you?
I want to say yes and I want to say no because there's so much people that come here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, we can handle it. When we're fighting this Save Gwaii Honus, a year later, everybody came to see why we're trying to save it. There were so much people, we couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
But now it's designed where we can handle people coming to visit Haida Gwaii.
So the work that you do, Reg, as an artist, I mean, it must be gratifying and rewarding at this point in your career. A lot of people must come to you asking you how to get to where you are. What do you tell them?
When I first started working, the guy that I used to work with that used to advise us on the business aspect, he always told me he'd rather have somebody with 90% discipline and 10% talent instead of 90% talent and 10% discipline. Because I always talk about Michael Jordan. He was the most amazing basketball player, but he still took 500 shots a day to be the person to take the last shot in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a work ethic. You know, you got to work at it. I always say, you know, there's no easy, there's no trick to making money. You just go to work.
Yeah.
And when I'm doing my art, you know, I focus on, I set a timeline in my mind when I want it complete because I'm self-employed. And if I don't work, it won't get completed. Because I'm my own boss and I set my own hours on when I go to work.
Are they long days for you, though?
It used to be, not as much now. And the way I look at it now, when I finish one piece, I'm going to start another one anyway. So I just take my time. I still get up 3 o'clock every day and go to work by 5.
Really?
I like the mornings. It's quiet. Nobody phones you. 7 in the morning.
Right.
I mean, the odd friend will phone because they know I'm up.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, the peace and quiet. I made my studio where there's no windows, just skylights. So that way I can work any time of day because if I had windows, the sound would come out.
Yeah.
Because it's insulated enough that I can work all different times of day.
What people admire about your work, other than the craftsmanship and the artistry, is that there's great simplicity in it. And I read somewhere you say that simplicity is the hardest thing to achieve, even now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I first started, the more I learned, the longer it took.
Mm.
You know, because it's starting to understand it. I remember when I was first apprenticing with my brother, I was living in Vancouver, and he said, well, let's go to the zoo. That's when the zoo had, Stanley Park had all, was loaded with all kinds of animals.
Right.
So he brought me to the zoo because we lived in the city. He said, well, this is what you're carving, so we're supposed to go look at the real things. At that time, there was a killer whale in there and the bears and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to look at all the animals. What we were carving, so I understand what I was doing.
Do you still find that you're learning?
Yeah. I mean, I look at all the old pieces, what the old masters did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's very few people that reach the level of the old masters. I mean, it's amazing to go to the museum and see what they did and accomplish. You know, because that's a whole different level when you go look at the old pieces. It was a humbling experience to see an old piece.
And then what's it like when knowing that years from now people will look at your work and think the same thing?
I never really think about it because I just enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Like I work on things and I'm quite fortunate. I mean, I have grandchildren now and I'm quite fortunate to be able to carve them things that they can wear when they're singing and dancing. Because if I wasn't able to do that, the carvings now are kind of quite pricey.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be pretty expensive to be buying stuff for my grandchildren. I feel fortunate to be able to carve them something and they can use it in our ceremonies. It's not always about the money.
Right.
Like when I do things, I've never set a value of it on it. I just give it to them.
Why do you think a lot of people lose sight of that? Because, I mean, a lot of people are driven by making a buck, say, you know, having a job, and they lose sight of the bigger picture. I mean, is that being at your point in your career that you're able to take the wider view, say?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when I was first starting, it was hard to sell stuff. I remember when I did my first mask, I got paid $200 for it, and they sold it for $400. And my rent was
$500.
Mm-hmm. So I had to make 3 of them to pay my rent. And as you get it, I mean, on anything, no matter what you're doing, you always have to start at the bottom. It's not just being an artist. I mean, when you go to work for a firm or corporations, everything, you start at the bottom and work your way up. You know, so you dedicate yourself to it, then you'll get somewhere. Because I know a lot of very talented people, but they don't work at it full time, but they're happy where they're at. They have no interest of being known around the world or whatever and making a whole pile of money. They're comfortable where they're at.
The back to this thing on Tuesday, I understand that Wendy, when she works, she uses discarded curtain shears and slips,
yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's awfully practical to do things like that, isn't it?
Oh, and when you look at it, you wouldn't think that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean,
she's brought it to a whole different level, I feel. It looks very classy when people have these scarves or else these, whatever the shawls or whatever you call them, wearing them. It looks very elegant.
Yeah.
That's what the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. Did you guys have conversations as you were collaborating as to what was being represented in the pieces?
No. I showed her some designs. I said, this might work for what you're looking for. I said, this is your gig. This is what you are doing and what you know about. I don't know anything about this lady's clothing.
Yeah.
I said, I'll give you designs and you do what you want because it's your vision on what you see. And I'd rather stay out of it because I don't know anything about what she's doing on
right.
women's stuff. And so she had the freedom of using the designs the way she sees fit. And it worked really, really well on there because I like the whole idea where it's large, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get a T-shirt or a shirt and the design fits on the front pocket. And I always want, when I do my stuff, I tell them I want to fill the whole shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what she's done. She's filled the whole thing and it looks great.
Yeah. So the idea of collaboration, I mean, you're doing a lot of that. You've done a lot of that, I guess, throughout your whole career. It really does add to the process of being an artist, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a whole different medium. It's a wearable art now, right?
Yeah.
And you get to see it in public. You get to see people wearing it, as opposed to, I mean, maybe one of those designs where a print and it hangs in the wall, and the only people that will see that is the people you invite to your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been such a great pleasure to speak to you today. Congratulations on everything and all good wishes, Reg.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
The event in Vancouver is Tuesday night, the 16th of February at the Squaw Chai's Lodge at 29 West Pender. That's at 7:30 p.m. Reg Davidson joined me on the line from Masset on Haida Gwaii in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.